when we started off designing for the Imperial. And that point of time, there were not many high rises. In fact, it was one of the first high rises. It was making a statement for the city itself and for the country. Because I think once the Imperial came up, it kind of gave some shape to the skyline of Mumbai. And then all other developers and all other buildings started following that skyline.
Hi, and welcome to the Design Pataki podcast, a show that deconstructs the Indian and international design world with leading industry experts. I'm Isha Gupta, the founder of Design Pataki, and through our podcast, we aim to promote thoughtful and incisive conversations on design, art, and architecture.
With over two decades of experience in architecture and design for luxury real estate developments, Shubhrati Datta, the head of design, leads the creative direction of projects at SD Corp. SD Corp has been at the forefront of creating projects that are not just buildings, but distinct icons of Mumbai's ever-changing skyline, like the Imperial Tower and the upcoming project, the Imperial Eye. Thank you so much, Shubhrati, for being here with us today. And I'm so excited to talk to you about decoding design as the future of luxury real estate developments. I would love your thoughts on it. Thank you so much for being here.
Sure. Thank you, Isha. Thank you for having me here today.
My first question to you is, what does decoding design mean to you?
So at SD Corp, we do not look at apartments just as a investment opportunity. We look at apartment as an extension of oneself. Okay. And with that philosophy, we start the process of design, which helps us in further decoding what our customer requirements are.
So a question I think about a lot and ask a lot of designers as well is, how do you balance functionality and aesthetics and luxury aesthetics?
So we start by asking questions as to what the customer would prefer. Would they prefer looking at the TV while sitting on the sofa? Or would they prefer looking outside while sitting at the sofa? What's their lifestyle is? I think those are the questions that we need to ask ourselves, or we ask ourselves while deciding on what the functionality should be.
Right.
And obviously, the aesthetics comes in a bit late, and that's related with the actual end user.
2025, what are the trends that you're noticing with first-time home buyers or buyers with multiple homes or designing spaces?
The most significant part that I'm looking at is like livable luxury, wherein it's not only you're not designing your home for the social media.
Yeah.
You should be comfortable staying in that space. And I think that's the most important part of the evolved luxury that we're looking at.
I like the term livable luxury. That sounds really good.
And the second part is the wellness focus. Again, a lot of amenities are being provided, which is catering specifically for wellness.
Okay.
And third is the seamless space between indoor and the outdoor.
Okay.
So these are the certain trends that I look forward to for 2025 and the years ahead.
Okay. So the three trends: livable luxury, wellness focused, and seamless spaces. I think that's what 2025 was about. What is your advice to, say, first-time home buyer and for someone who's designing their home for the first time?
Be authentic. Okay. I think that's paramount. Be authentic and define your style.
Okay.
Whether you want a maximalist style or a minimalist style or anywhere in between. And then look for the details, because the devil lies in the detail. Address all the senses, including the texture, how you touch and feel, what the space smells like, and bring in a dash of green, because I think that enlivens the space like nothing else. Those are my couple of advices.
The advice you would give somebody. And when you say devil is in the details, can you tell me more about that? Is there a certain experience you had or something which you'll ensure you'll do in your projects?
So, for example, if you're putting up a skirting, the skirting has to turn.
Okay.
Which means that your edges should not be visible anywhere. Similarly, for the wallpaper, if you're putting up a wallpaper, it has to turn and end somewhere, or the termination detail has to be right, or there has to be some kind of a band which stops the wallpaper. So those are the kind of very minimal things, but it makes a huge difference in the overall space.
You know, earlier you spoke about livable luxury, and I was thinking about that as we've been chatting. Could you tell me more about what defines livable luxury for you?
So in a word or in a sentence, if I have to summarize that, I think it means that you should be comfortable around whatever the space is,
right?
Which means that if the sofa might look great, but is it comfortable to sit on?
Right.
You might have open kitchens, but is it something that you want?
Let's talk about linear layouts. They seem to be an important aspect for you all when you all are designing. So could you elaborate more on the principles of it?
So just to simplify the linear layout, you have a city, linear city like Mumbai, which has the better views on one side. So you try and incorporate all your livable areas, or living areas like your bedrooms, dining areas, into one single layout which faces the better views.
Okay.
So that's the genesis of the linear apartment. In the linear apartment, you get the better views, the cool breeze from the western side, and the stunning views of the sunset.
So what you're essentially seeing is your living room, bedrooms all face the west?
Yes.
And all in one line.
All
so that's the idea of a linear layout.
Right.
And when we say this, I'm assuming columns all sort of are designed accordingly. The entire structure of the building is designed accordingly.
Correct. So we make sure that there is no column within the living area.
Okay.
And it's a column-free space. So the columns are only at the periphery.
So that also gives you flexibility to move your spaces around and create the spaces as per one's lifestyle?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
I believe you were talking about creating, say, a den alongside a work-from-home space or anything along the structure, basically.
Correct. With the linear layout and with the structural design that we do, it provides you with the flexibility to express oneself and modify the layout to the extent that you can have the layout as per your choice.
So a linear layout gives you more flexibility to customize the space. Do I understand that correctly?
Yes. So the linear layout along with the structural design that we do ensures that you can change things around and customize the space according to your own requirements.
Another question which I'm sure people will ask you is, are linear layouts vastu compatible? Because you know how important vastu is to a lot of Indians. Right.
Yes, design can be made vastu compatible.
Okay.
We address the fact by choosing the area or the location where the linear apartment is going to come. Apartment can be made vastu compliant.
Okay. And when we talk about luxury, how is luxury part of this layout per se? Is it because you're getting unconstrained views of from all the rooms? Is that what it is?
So that's one part of it.
Okay.
So when we talk about luxury, there are multiple layers to it. Space itself, for example, is a luxury in a city like Mumbai.
Right.
Then we layer it with the views. Then we are offering adaptability to the layouts. So if you want to host the most talked about party in the town, the layout can take that. Also, if somebody is looking to write the next novel, so we have cozy corners for them as well.
Okay.
So the linear layouts are adaptable, in my understanding as a designer, which allows the linear layouts to be versatile.
Do you feel like this also extends into your amenities and your clubhouse as well? Because that's part of how you live your life, right?
Yes, it does.
Also, I believe that there's an IT backbone that you all give to homeowners as well for home automation or technology that they want to bring in. Can you elaborate a bit more on that?
So each of our customers have very different requirements as far as home automation is concerned.
Okay.
So many of the customers that we have been talking with, they like the touch and feel, the old-fashioned switches, for example. Now, giving them a touchpad for home automation doesn't really help their elevate their experience.
Yeah.
So we are ensuring that the IT infrastructure that we provide is good enough to handle whatever requirements they might have in terms of home automation without actually providing the home automation. Linear layout is a win-win for all.
And what about materials? Because for me, luxury is even kota. And for some people, marble is what luxury means, but I feel nowadays luxury could be across the spectrum. So what's your take on that?
A very individual decision. Somebody might like the Grand Budapest Hotel, for example. Somebody might like the sets of Downton Abbey, or somebody might like the sets of The Great Gatsby. It's totally individual, but hence we leave that to the individual resident there. But if you ask me personally, I feel that there is a lot of scope as far as materials are concerned.
Okay.
So if somebody is comfortable to have marble, they can have marble. If somebody have to have a quota, they can choose a quota.
You know, from what I'm hearing, I feel like lifestyle is really important, especially in your planning, and as well as I think everyone today wants to have a well-balanced life.
Right.
And I see that as the center of the entire narrative of the story that you all are building for people who buy homes. So what is your take on that, and how have you all developed that over the years?
I think over the years, I'm sure you are aware of the fact that Imperial Eye, or Imperial for that matter, was one of the first residential developments who had a 80,000 square foot club, which was a part of the Imperial development itself, wherein there were like heated pool, gym, guest rooms, and the daily and the restaurant were there. So we have been catering to the lifestyle of the people or our customers who have bought in with us, and have been offering that club as an extension to the amenities that's being provided under the umbrella of Imperial Collective.
Right. And with the newer projects, are you all adding on more amenities, or how are you designing for future projects?
So we are creating this particular 80,000 square feet clubhouse as the centerpiece of all the other amenities.
Okay.
And while we are providing individual amenities for individual buildings, right, which is catering to very private or changing requirement of the customer. Now there is something called private amenity, for example.
Okay.
Need not be defined as a pool room or a pool table room or a dining area and so on and so forth. So you have this space which has a pool table as well.
Okay.
There is a banqueting facility as well. There is a screening facility as well. So somebody can hire that space for a day and bring in his friends or her friends and spend the time there.
So from what I'm understanding, fluid spaces is a concept y'all are looking at?
Yes.
So you multi-purpose, multi-use fluid spaces.
Correct.
Essentially.
Correct.
Okay. So you turn it around from, it can move from day to evening into, say, like you're saying, a pool, like a pool table, games room sort of atmosphere. And then in the night it can become a banquet. Okay.
Correct.
That's very interesting. Yeah, I remember y'all being the first who had a fully serviced clubhouse. So it's, you know, it was managed by the Taj.
It was managed by the Taj, yeah. And right now it's managed by Leela, but at that point of time it was managed by Taj.
Right. And I think that's so important, because I feel like you know, in Bombay there's so much traffic. You want things which are available to you. You don't have to walk miles or go very far to have, as you said, a temperature controlled pool.
Right.
So I think that's very interesting. And what about, what I've noticed is that the facades have been all very iconic. So I think when you started Imperial, and now with the Coastal Road, I feel like the Bombay skyline has become more iconic than ever. So what are your thoughts on that? Was that a conscious decision?
Yes, I think it was a very conscious decision when we started off designing for the Imperial. And at that point of time, there were not many high-rises. In fact, it was one of the first high-rises. There was no other high-rises around. So it was not only making a statement for SD Corp or making a statement for the company, it was making a statement for the city itself and for the country, right? Because I think once the Imperial came up, it kind of gave some shape to the skyline of Mumbai. And then all other developers and all other buildings started following that skyline. So we are consciously trying to add to the skyline of Mumbai.
Amazing. I think you've done brilliantly in that area. Every time I'm on the Coastal Road, I kind of see all of these buildings, and it's really nice. My last question to you is, what is the one thing you keep in mind before starting a project, or your vision before you kickstart everything?
My vision is to create a sense of belonging for the residents and anybody who is going to be part of the community.